It is. What a privilege to worship you, to hear your word. And now, Lord, give us a vision that's heavenward. Bless us today. Encourage us and lift us up through your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I'm always impressed with people who have insight. Maybe the word is really not insight. Maybe I'm impressed with people who have sight. That's people who know exactly where they are going. Have you ever met individuals like that, that just when they get fixed on a goal, they just never stop until they reach it? In the business world, there is a writer by the name of Jim Collins. His first book sold quite well. It's entitled Built to Last. And his second book, Good to Great. And it is a great book. And in those books, he coined a phrase called big, hairy, audacious goals. Or B-H-A-G-S. Talking about being able to reach your goal. Again, I'm always impressed by those who can have a dream and reach for it and not stop until they achieve it. You may not like Walt Disney, but you must agree that he had a broad vision for the entertainment world that really redefined the industry. Or Henry Ford, who had a dream, a goal, that he could make a car that everyone could own, that everyone could have a car. And now some of us have three. George Marshall had a vision to develop the world's mightiest army. He had this vision in 1939. When the U.S. Army was made up of 200,000 men and women. But by 1945, the force had multiplied to 8.3 million. And then there's Bill Gates, who had a vision that every computer in the world would use Microsoft software. I know they laughed when he had that vision years ago, but he's getting really close to that being true. How about Jesus? What was his goal? You know what sets Jesus apart from the business world and the goals that they set? And I am intrigued by people who are able to do this just like Jesus. They are able to face a goal that is faced with difficulties and trials and continue to move forward. Now that's a challenge. All kinds of difficulties, But they will not shrink back from reaching their goal. The text that was read says, and it came about when the days were approaching for his ascension, that he resolutely set his face to go to Jerusalem. My title sermon this morning, or this afternoon, right now, it's just afternoon, is set your face toward Jerusalem. This is to begin the last journey of Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem. Jesus sets his course. He sets his face toward Jerusalem. I'm always impressed with those who are able, no matter what the trials, to stick to their goal. And especially when the goal is a cross. How do you set your face toward Jerusalem when your goal is to go to the cross? I'd like to add a sidebar. There are some people, they are able to set their face toward Jerusalem because they cannot be deterred because they cannot be distracted. That's what keeps many people from reaching their goal. Anything comes in the way, distracts them from meeting their goal. Things that don't even matter, people that don't matter, come into play and sets them away from their course. But Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. That sounded like a pretty good idea. Jerusalem was the holy city, the city of peace, the city of God. It should have been all right to set your face toward Jerusalem. Jerusalem is not the largest city in the world, and it's not noted for famous athletes, but it is the most important city in all the world. Not the most beautiful. You can find spots in Hawaii that are the most beautiful in all the world. But Jerusalem is the most important city in all the world. It should have been great to set his face toward Jerusalem. But we know that Jesus was going to the cross. We're going to talk about that next Sabbath, his journey in Jerusalem. But right now, he sets his face toward Jerusalem. Most important city in all the world. Important for Christians, important for Jews, and important to Muslims. Important to Christians because the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and the Holy Spirit all happen in Jerusalem. That's pretty important, wouldn't you say? Important to the Christians. But yet he set his face toward Jerusalem. Jerusalem, a city with a long and unhappy history. Bathed in blood. Jerusalem, where Sennacherib of the Assyrians. Assyrians were cold-blooded. They were the first terrorists. They were so mean that they would take babies, throw them up in the air, and catch on the end with their swords. Ask the Assyrians. Demanded that Hezekiah put 2,000 soldiers on horses so that his men would be able to have some kind of sport to the slaughter. So God had to end that. So God sent one angel to slay 185,000 Assyrians. One. Where did it happen? Around Jerusalem. Jerusalem captured by Nebuchadnezzar. All of us know the great stories in the book of Daniel. It took many thousand prisoners of war. Jerusalem, taken by Alexander the Great from the Persians in 338 B.C., fought over after Alexander died by his generals, taken over later by the Romans. And when Romans became Christians, were taken by the Persians in 614 A.D., and taken very soon afterward by the Muslims in 636 A.D., and taken years later in 1099 by all of the Crusades, the Christians took it back. Jerusalem, why would Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem? Jesus had a resolve. It was so strong that circumstances could not turn him back. We like to talk about the purpose-driven life by Rick Warren. Jesus had the purpose-driven life. That's the purpose-driven life. Determined, set his face toward Jerusalem. Jerusalem mentioned 600 times throughout the scriptures, mentioned in Acts and mentioned in Romans, mentioned in 1 Corinthians, mentioned in Galatians. But where we see it, most notably, as he sets his face toward Jerusalem, is Luke chapter 19. I want you to turn there briefly. Luke chapter 19. He sets his face toward Jerusalem. Luke chapter 19. We know the story. We see it in Matthew 21. You'll see it in Mark 11. It's the triumphal entry. It's a sermon that's preached all this week in the triumphal entry. Jesus, as he sets his face toward Jerusalem, toward the cross, in chapter 19, and you can start at verse 28 and find the story there. The crowd starts to swell. They sense that something is happening. And as Jesus ascends up the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives, as he approaches the top and the crowd is pressing around, and the disciples break out singing. And when you read verse 37, you'll see what they sing. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. As they sing, the people were excited about what's going on. And they shout, Hosanna. And there's so much noise that the disciples try and quiet the crowd. And Jesus comes and says, if they are quiet, if they keep their mouths closed, the very rocks will cry out. Amen. It's okay to say amen. The very rocks would cry out, Jesus says. And then Jesus gets to the top and he looks out at Jerusalem. Jerusalem bathed in the light of the sun. The pure white marble of the temple sparkles, and the golden cap pillars sparkle. And people stare at Jesus, and guess what he's doing? Churches don't like to preach this when they're talking about the triumphal entry, because it ought to be exciting and happy. Jesus, they look at him and he has tears in his eyes. And in fact, he starts crying with grief. In fact, when Jesus starts crying with grief, the people in the crowd start crying also. And so it's a cloud of disappointment and sadness over the crowd. That was a parade before, but now it's sadness. What do you think Jesus saw? As as he set his face toward Jerusalem, Jesus saw a doomed city. He could look into the future and see 37 years later he could see Titus laying siege to Jerusalem. He could see thousands dying of starvation. He could see even some resorting to cannibalism, which is recorded by the historian Josephus when he said a woman from a wealthy family, as I quote, became so desperate with hunger that she killed her nursing infant. She roasted his flesh. The fighters burst in on her. They were attracted by the flesh, and they came in thinking they were going to get some food. And they saw her half-eaten son, and they left recoiling in revulsion. Jesus wept. Jesus set his face to Jerusalem. Let me tell you something about Christianity. You know, we have goals in life. Business people have goals, and we all have goals, and those are good things. But the Christian goal is different from everybody else's. Let me tell you something about being a Christian. Some of you have already found this out. It's not easy. The road is not always smooth. You found that out? I mean, there's some rough places. There's some trials that Christians face as they set their face toward Jerusalem. Jesus had set his face to going to a cross. When you become a Christian, we ask you to do some mighty different things. Jesus says the last shall be first. I thought I'd at least get one amen over that one. But I know that's a tough one. Because we are taught to be first. To push our way forward over everybody. But Jesus says the last shall be first. World idolizes strength, but Jesus says God demonstrates his strength through people's weaknesses. The world values large numbers. Jesus chose a small group to be his disciples, often ignored by the crowds. The world is attracted to large, spectacular performances, but Jesus says his kingdom would be like a mustard seed. The world does good deeds in order to win people's praise. Jesus says, when you do good, do it in secret. Don't worry about people's praise. And then to make matters worse, Jesus says, set your face toward a cross. You sure you want to be a Christian? Amen. Let me tell you why Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. He was going to the cross. In fact, this is the reason why we're here. We're not here today because we don't have better things to do, other things to do. We're here because Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem for you and I. He loved you so much that he was willing to go to Jerusalem, even though he knew he was facing the cross. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that why we love him? Isn't that the reason why you're here? Amen? That's why we come, Seventh-day Adventists come on Saturday. That's stupid. Nobody else is going to church on Saturday. What's wrong with us? We're here because Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. Amen? That's why I'm here. Oh, you know, you ought to love him more when you know that. Amen? He set his face toward Jerusalem. And when you read other things about Jerusalem, and we know Jesus cried. In fact, the writings of Ellen White talking about Jesus there on the top of the Mount of Olives looking over Jerusalem said that he rocked. I mean, he was serious crying. I mean, he rocked like a tree in a windstorm. That's crying. You ever had a cry like that? I mean, he was crying over you and I. Oh, my. He was crying over the people he would see in 70 A.D. when Titus would storm Jerusalem. And there's a quote that says, "The last days the whole world will be involved in ruin more terrible than that which came upon Jerusalem of old." What a scary thought. But I got good news for you. Before we go to the cross next Sabbath, I got good news for you. Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem so that we could set our face toward New Jerusalem. You see, that's the only way we're going to get toward New Jerusalem is if we recognize what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago in your old Jerusalem. Amen. Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem so that we now, by faith, could accept the gift of a new Jerusalem. Zechariah 14, I would invite you later on to read that in your own spare time. You can start at 3 and read on down to verse 9 of Zechariah. Very interesting passage. Now, if you do not look closely at this passage, you will get the impression that it's talking about old Jerusalem. But I'm here to tell you, I believe that that passage is talking about a new Jerusalem. Why I say, I'll tell you why I think so. Because the Bible says in Zechariah 14, you can go and read it later on, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem. And the Mount of Olives during that time, he is going to land there on that mount and split it in two. And part of the mountain is going to go north, and the other part is going to go south. And a valley is going to open up. What's that valley for? Now, if you would go to Jerusalem today, the city today, it's roughly 289 square miles, or 15 by 20 miles. But Jesus has promised us in Revelation chapter 21, you can read most of chapter 21, especially you want to read around verse 9. Jesus has promised us a new Jerusalem, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And guess how big New Jerusalem is going to be? In fact, an angel measured it and said it was 12,000 furlongs, 375 miles on each side. It was a square. No, it wasn't a square. It was a cube. When you read the Bible, it says its height was equal to its width and its length. It's 300. 175 miles high. Y'all missed that. The Jerusalem today will only hold 1 million people, maybe. But the new Jerusalem that God is preparing will hold billions. Amen. Sometimes we think it's going to hold thousands. It's going to hold billions. And I want to be one of the billion. How about you? New Jerusalem is being prepared right now. God does not want us to forget that. You think you have goals today. I want you to set another goal. If you would now embrace the new Jerusalem, that you would set your face toward new Jerusalem. There's a place for you. And it has been made because of what Jesus did on the cross. There's a story that I had in my notes about George Mallory, a British schoolmaster and a socialite who wanted to conquer the yet unconquered Mount Everest. And a reporter asked George Mallory why he intended to climb such a formidable mountain. And most of us remember the reply, even if we don't remember who said it. And he said, because it is there. Because it is there. And the last thing that people saw of George on June the 8th, 38-year-old father of three young children, was him trudging up the mountain with his companion Andrew Irvine. 75 years later, an American climbing team discovered Mallory's perfectly preserved body on the slope of the mountain. Mallory had sacrificed his life in an attempt to accomplish an unnecessary goal. But not Jesus. And not you and I. Jesus set his face to Jerusalem to die on the cross for you. And so I'm setting my face toward New Jerusalem because of what he has done. Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserves. Let's pray. Loving Father in heaven, what a wonderful does not do it. How great thou art. You would come down from heaven that it would be determined from the very beginning that they shall call his name Jesus and he shall save his people from their sins. And you would set your face toward Jerusalem all of your life. We thank you for what you mean to us. And because you are willing to set your face to a difficult goal. No, Lord, it seems impossible to save the entire world. But that's exactly what you did. The provisions was made to save the entire world. Lord, it would only be right for us to accept that now. And we do that lovingly in Jesus' name. Amen.